learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shah Dalad, Perik Chof Gimel, chapter 23. We're about halfway through. We're speaking about the dire consequences of someone who doesn't learn Torah, and what terrible destruction that can lead to. The text goes on as follows. It says, Omru Avos. It says from Perik Avos, B'chol yom v'yom baskel yoytz me'achirev, every single day a heavenly voice is transmitted from Mount Chirev, it's Mount Sinai, u'machrezes, and it announces, Oy lehem lebrios, woe to people because of the elboinu shel Torah, on account of the insult to the Torah. Shekol mi she'ein o'isig b'Torah, because anyone who doesn't engage in Torah, Nikrin Nozuf, he's called excommunicated, he's called rejected, he's called thrown out. Nozuf, banned. Kichei Mishpote, someone who doesn't learn Torah, this is his judgment, this is his punishment. Mipri Malolov Yasbiu, from the fruit of his deeds, they sate him. So if you're the farm of an orchard that produces grapes, then you end up eating grapes. If you're the farm of an orchard that produces pumpkins, you end up eating pumpkins. So the same thing in terms of the world of mitzvahs. If you're the farmer who's growing in his land avaras, so then that's what you have to eat. You have to eat what you produce. Right? The old expression: you sleep in the bed that you made. So that's what is. A person is sated from his own actions. A person who abandons the Torah has to suffer the consequences of having created this tremendous destruction of abandoning Torah. Since he didn't want to choose life, ubetoiv hamiti, and true goodness, not to himself, not to all of the creatures, and to all of the worlds. In other words, the benefit of learning Torah is to himself and to all his fellow man, and to all of the worlds. And he didn't choose that. Unbelievable reward, but he didn't choose it. He doesn't want the reward. And to attach himself to Hashem. And on the contrary, he reduced the light of blessing and prosperity and Torah and enlightenment and wisdom and insight that was supposed to come into the world. He reduced the light coming into the world. He made the world a darker place, a darker, more backward place. The Kilkel of Bilbel Sidra HaMekov HaKadosha, and he spoilt and confused all of the orders of the Holy Chariot, Mekov HaKadosha, Holy Chariot, which is the orders in which the benefits come down to the world, all the spiritual benefits come down to this world, a certain order, and that order is called the Holy Chariot. And he's gone and switched things around, he's gone and spoiled things. The Gorm Rol Atzmoy, he causes evil to himself, Sheposhet Bigdei HaKodesh, because he's taken off holy garments. When he was learning Torah, so it's as if he's wearing holy garments. Like the Kohen Gadol, when he goes into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, he puts on special garments. So we have to understand that every time a person sits down to learn Torah, he's garbed with these holy garments, the holy garments that clothe him and wrap him. But now he's abandoned Torah, he walks out of Torah. So therefore he's taken off the holy garments, the lavash tachtom, and he's wearing in their place begodim tzoyim mutunofim. In their place he's now wearing filthy, stinking, smelly garments, which are full of excrement. He's wearing these dirty, disgusting garments, which basically is the way one lives his life, are his garments. The word we use for attribute, midah, is also the same word as garment. Midah is a garment. So the midas are the garments. The attributes are the garments. Those are the garments you wear. Your attitude, the way you speak to people, the way you go through life. So this person who's left Torah, he's taken off the holy, beautiful garments, and he's put on instead these scruffy, ragged, dirty and smelly garments. Hanasim iske taivas ze'ulom. These are garments that are created by engaging in the lusts of this world. The lust of this world are themselves these ugly garments. The tanugis in yonav, all these sort of the running after pleasure. the pursuit of pleasure for the sake of pleasure, are these ugly garments. He becomes contaminated and filthied through them. So certainly when it comes to upper worlds, they won't allow him in. If a person comes to the king's palace and he's dressed in dirty clothing, he smells bad and he looks terrible, so the guards won't let him in. He says, no, he's got the invitation. You know, he's the king's cousin. He's very sorry. You don't come into the king's palace wearing dirty, filthy garments. Now, that's the story of Esther, right? When Mordechai was sitting and doing tshuva, and he was fasting for the Jewish people. There was a decree of destruction against the Jewish people. So he put on sackcloth. So Esther heard that he's wearing sackcloth and he's in the king's courtyard. So she quickly sent someone to bring him clothes. You can't be in the king's courtyard wearing something that's degrading, right? Despicable. So that's the story there. She quickly sent him clothing. He shouldn't wear sackcloth. He can't wear sackcloth in the king's palace. So when it comes to entering upper worlds, which is where our souls want to be, our souls want to be in the upper worlds. They want to bask in the glory of the upper worlds. They have to have clean clothing. All of the holy soldiers, the sentries, and the guards who guard the divine presence, they're all distance from him. When he comes close to the heavenly courts, the guards don't want to come near him. The guards don't want to touch him. The guard will only sort of push him away with the edge of his bayonet. He doesn't even want to touch this person. He just doesn't want to filthy his hands with touching this person. They don't want to touch these dirty garments. So what does this person do? He's not allowed into the upper worlds, into the palaces. So he's wandering around. He's just wandering around like someone who's locked outside of his house at 2 o'clock in the morning. And all the neighbors are sleeping. He can't go knock on their doors. So what does he do? He just wanders around the neighborhood. He's got nowhere to go. He just walks around the house, waiting till the light. Right? He's locked out of his house. So maybe in the light, in the meantime, he's just wandering around. He's a lost soul. The Tome Yikro. Here's another borrowed terminology. We know that if in a Metzora, a person has this spiritual form of leprosy, is thrown out of the camp. He has to be outside the Jewish camp, out of the Jewish cities. And he has to be isolated. And when anyone comes close to him, he's got to actually warn them. Tome, I'm contaminated. Please stay away from me. He has to warn people to stay away from him. So in a sense, he also, this person in the upper worlds, he announces who he is and what he's been doing with his life, and therefore he's considered tomei, contaminated. Mizdabek v'minoi. Maybe he can find someone else who's just as contaminated as him. Maybe the two of them can be together. That's the company he can keep. B'chayolim tmeim shel koiches atumah. He'll find the troops of contamination, of the forces of evil, the forces of contamination, the evil forces, the evil spiritual forces of the upper worlds, asher higbira malatzmo, which he himself strengthened. He was the one who was, he was maintaining those evil forces. He was strengthening, he was empowering them with his evil deeds. He was empowering the forces of evil. So those will be his friends. Moshe Kosher the Zohar, like it says in the Zohar, the beginning of Rashi's of Parshas Metzora. Careful people have to be of the road that they choose. They have to be careful of which road they choose, and to fear Hashem. They shouldn't become lost. They shouldn't wander off from the straight path. And they shouldn't transgress words of Torah. Because to wander off the straight path, Torah living is a road. It's a straight road, and you have to stay on the road. If you're off the road, so then you're going against the Torah. Life of Torah is a path which leads to the highest of heavens, but you've got to stay on the path. A person has to be careful to stay on the road. Don't get off the tracks. Don't get lost. Don't get distracted. And not to remove himself from it. Because anyone who doesn't engage in Torah, and he doesn't toil in it, he doesn't exert himself in it, nozufu miyakodesh boku, he is banned, he is excommunicated from the presence of Hashem, rochukum imenu, he is distanced from Hashem, hashchina eina sheir elav, the divine presence will not rest on him, eila shemim aholchim imoy, and the gods which accompany him, that accompany his soul in this world, mistalkim mimenu, will remove themselves from him. A person actually has heavenly gods. We have, a person has heavenly gods that accompany him. that these gods don't want to be with him anymore, even though they've been appointed to look after him. They're his bodyguards, so to speak, his heavenly bodyguards. They don't want to stay close to him. They want to keep away from him. And not only that, but an announcement goes out in front of such a person and says, "Histalkum yisaviv lepluini, keep away from so and so." An announcement goes out. Everyone should keep away from so and so. She'ena doeg bichvoid adoinov, who is not concerned with the glory of you, with the honor of his Lord, the honor of his God. It's similar to the story of when Korach stood up in rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu and Dothan of Aviram. So when Moshe and Aaron went to confront them, and they weren't successful in getting them to repent, so all the people were standing around. So Moshe had to announce, "Everyone move away from the tents of Dothan and Aviram. Move away. Because if you don't move away, you'll be swallowed up with him." And that's what happened. The earth started opening up and people started running just to keep away. So therefore this person, also in the upper worlds, people keep away from this person. He's just something that is destructive. So woe to such a person who is abandoned by upper beings and lower beings. No one wants to be friends with him. No one wants to, he's all by himself. He's left by himself. He's abandoned. He has no share in the path of life and the road of life. The other way around, when he will engage in and he will toil in learning Torah, so how many gods are ready to come and guard him and to protect him and to boost him, the Shomer to protect him, the divine presence hovers over the person who sits and learns Torah, and they all announce in front of the person learning Torah. So a person when he's learning Torah, an announcement goes in front of such a person, give honor to the form of the king. Because he patterns himself on the king, and by learning the ways of Hashem, which is the Torah, by living the ways of the Torah, so you start resembling, in the terms of the spiritual concept, you resemble the king. The more close you are to the fulfillment of the Torah, the more you resemble Hashem. So you are the resemblance of Hashem. So when you walk around, they say, "Oh, the king, the resemblance of Hashem, the resemblance of the king is here." Right? People announce in your presence, right? You're going with a lot of glory and a lot of honor in the world to come. They speak this out, that there is honor in the world to come. That's part of the reward of the world to come, is a person gets honor for what he's done in this world. We understand it's not the same. A person made a small effort and another person made a large effort. We understand it shouldn't be the same reward. And that is part of the reward of the world to come, is that this honor that he's given by the upper beings. And they announced, "Nu kovid l'tzuras ha-melech, give honor to the one who resembles the king. Nu kovid l'ben ha-melech, give honor to the son of the king, to the prince. Shomuhu bo'ilam hazeh, and therefore he's protected in this world. Ubo'ilam abo, and the world to come. Ashrei chelko, fortunate is he in his share, what he's managed to get for himself." Ba'omav Mishnah perkamet ha-chagiga, the Mishnah in the first chapter of Chagiga, it says as follows, "Mu'uvas lo yuchal eliskoin." Is a pasuk from Kehelet that says that which is crooked cannot be made straight. Right? Sometimes you've got a brand new thing, but once you bent it, or once you twist it, once you've got a brand new car, once it's got a scratch, you can't really get it like it was. It's never the brand new car anymore. Even if the panel beater goes and touches it up, even in your heart, it's not the new car that you had 15 minutes ago anymore. So that's what the pasuk in Kehelet is speaking about. It says that which was made crooked, that which has been spoilt, can never be fully repaired. It can never be repaired. So Bishin Ma'uchai says, what is this pasuk talking about? Obviously, we're not talking about cars and whatever things of this world. We're talking about something very spiritual, lofty. What is it that's been made crooked that can't be made straight? Bishin Ma'uchai Oimer and Kuri Mu'uvas Elal Mishai Masukan Mitchilav Nisavis. Bishin Ma'uchai says it only speaks about something that's crooked. About something that was originally fixed, it was originally in a pristine state, was in a perfect state, and then it became crooked. In other words, if something is designed crooked, if something is built in a crooked way, then that's the way it's supposed to be. It's designed to have a crooked shape, but something that was originally created straight and beautiful and straight and fixed and doing its living in the way it's supposed to be living, doing its function, and then it became crooked, then it became skew. So then that's called. That's the type of skewness that can never be repaired. The Ezeh says, Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai, what is he referring to? What's called the one that was straight that was made crooked? Ze Talmid Chochem HaPoyrish Min HaTorah. That's the worst type of perversion. The worst type of crookedness is when you have a Torah scholar who was immersed in learning Torah, and he left it, and he walked out of the Torah. Purish min Torah, he walked away from Torah. Oy lehem lebrios, woe to mankind. Sherois ve'en yoidus my rois. Woe to mankind that they see, and they don't even know what they see. Right? They see people leaving Torah, and they don't even know what they don't see. They don't see the destruction of what they're seeing. They don't see how horrible this whole situation is. Oy lanu me'albonim shel Torah. Woe to us for the insult of the Torah. There's a huge insult against the Torah. That the Torah has just been insulted. If someone throws a mud pie into the king's face, it's an insult. So the Torah has just been insulted by the one who walked out on Torah. He walked away from Torah. People are unaware of it. Not even conscious of it. The spiritual world, they know what's going on. But here in this world, we don't see it. And how much must a person think about this all the time? To put his mind to it, not to insult the Torah, and that he should actually worry about it, should actually aggravate him, should aggravate his kidneys, right? It should, like, his whole stomach should be like scrunched up because it's disturbing to him. It's disturbing to him that the Torah is so insulted. That he should avoid walking in the darkness during his lifetime. He has to stay out of the dark. Don't walk in the dark. In the dark you can be mugged. You can be robbed. You can lose everything you have. So he wants to stay out of the dark. He wants to stay in the light in his lifetime. The number of the days that have been apportioned to him, that have been allocated for him. With Hashem's compassion and kindness, Hashem has given us life. Basically our highest asset, our most precious commodity that we have is our time, our days. Our days, our hours, our moments. That's the most precious thing we have. And we've got to try and use it. We've got to try and use it for the good, because every single moment can be used for coming closer to Hashem. If you can think of life as a ladder, life is a ladder. So every moment you can climb another rung. Second by second, minute by minute, you can be climbing rungs of the ladder. You can be coming higher and higher and higher. And it doesn't matter what situation you're in. You can be in a good situation, you can be in a bad situation. You can always turn it into an act of growth. You can always may use that moment as an act of climbing on the rung, on another rung of the ladder. Let's say you have to wait in a line at the post office, or you're waiting, you're standing at a stop red light in the street, right? You're stopping in the street, you're waiting. You miss 30, 40 seconds go by. What do you do with that time? If you use that moment to think a Torah idea, or to daven to Hashem, or maybe you know a verse of Tehillim, or even to think of doing some kindness for somebody. Maybe you'll think about someone, you think about someone that maybe I can help this person. Think about someone maybe you feel sorry about, and you can help this person. So you'll think about what you can do for him. That's a mitzvah. You're thinking about even if you don't come out with any good ideas, even though nothing comes of it, but you were thinking about how can you help this person. So you're using a moment, which was a moment that might have just gone to waste, just sitting, standing at this, waiting at the traffic light for the light to go from red to green. You've cut that moment. You've grasped that moment. And that was a moment that was given to you. And you were able to optimize that moment. You were able to use that moment. That moment becomes like another gem in a crown. It's like another jewel in the crown. And that's how we use our time. That's how we have to try and use our time. Because that is our most precious commodity. We can't lose the moments of our day. The Avos Nofshu Mushulach Chofshi Min HaTorah. Right, person, if he's not careful, to the lusts of his soul, when he starts desiring things, all sorts of desirable things in the street, all sorts of things that tempt us. So, with the desire, the person follows the desires of the soul. He's throwing away his Torah. He has to be careful. Imagine you see a man in the middle of a street, and he's got a suitcase full of thousands of dollars. And he opens a suitcase in the middle of a busy street. He starts throwing money around. He's throwing money. He just picks a bunch of money and throws it in the air. So, of course, he becomes very popular. All sort of people are gathering around. They're all grabbing money. He's just throwing it into the air. And the wind is blowing it this way and that way. And he's throwing money away. And you say to him, "What are you doing?" He says, "No, I'm bored. You know, I'm looking for some sort of entertainment. So, therefore, I'm throwing this money away." So this, he says, "Are you a multimillionaire? Are you very rich that you can throw money away?" He says, no, these are my life savings. I'm throwing my life savings. This is basically what I save for my old age. But, you know, I'm getting bored now. I'm going to just throw some of this money away. So I took all my money out of the bank. It's in the suitcase, and I'm throwing it away. So that's the same person. The person throws away his time on absolute nonsense. He's just throwing it away. He's throwing away his life. So So you say to him, if you throw away the money, so what are you going to live on in your old age? He says, I don't know. I didn't think about that. I'm just having some fun now. I want to see what it looks like to burn $10,000. You take $10,000, you put it in a fire, you make a fire, and you say, it didn't look so fantastic, but it burned quite quickly, but it wasn't that impressive. It wasn't so, I thought I'd be more excited by that, seeing such a thing, but it burned pretty quickly, but the person didn't burn his life away. A person abandons the ultimate occupation of sitting and learning Torah, and he's throwing his life away. Keep it up, sure, it's his life. Because that's his life. You were given a certain amount of life. The clock is ticking. Each one of us has a certain amount of time. We don't know how much time we've got. But that's our lives. And we throw away our lives. So that's it. That's what we're doing. Because a person's time will be up. There's a certain time. And they say, okay, that's it, my friend. Time's up. And then the dust will return to the earth. And our body, which is made of dust, the body will just decompose into the earth. But such a spirit of that, when the body decomposes, the body's put in the ground in a grave, so the spirit wants to go up to the heavens. So this spirit won't be allowed to return to Hashem. They say, no, we don't want you here. The spirit suddenly is free of the body. It's free of the body. It's wandering away from the body, and it's wandering up to the heavens. The spirit is rejected. They say, no, don't come in here. We don't want you here. Ruach lo yitashuv el Elokim. It won't return to Hashem. Lihitzari b'tzurechaim. It will not be bundled. There's a concept of a bundle of life, which is the source of Hashem's life force. Hashem's life force, which is this bundle of life, whatever that means. And he won't be included in this bundle of life in the upper worlds. Ki tuk tukula chelkosui iskaleh. His portion has been cursed. He ruined the whole thing. He spoiled the whole thing. And the only thing he's left with is the kafakela, which is the slingshot. The slingshot is the punishment where the soul is slung from one end of the world to the other end of the world. He's got nowhere to go. So it's like the guy who was locked out of his house at 2 o'clock in the morning. He's wandering around on the streets. There's nowhere to go. There's no one who wants him. There's no one who wants to talk to him. And he's just wandering. He's a wandering soul. So you've got the soul that's just departed from his body. He spent his life doing nothing. And now there's nowhere for him to go. And he's just wandering around. He's just on the loose. Just on the, there's nothing to prowl for. There's just he's out and about. They won't even let him into Gehenna yet. Right? Mitzvah Hashem, he'll do enough tshuva. He'll suffer enough wandering around the upper world. So finally they let him into Gehenna, and then he can be purified in Gehenna. But that's his lot. Lo yitagia, he won't find a resting place. Ki nitcho koroloi, they're going to call him rejected. Right, you're banned. We've been told not to let you in. None of the houses, none of the halls, none of the palaces of the world to come will allow him in. They see him coming. They say, no, sorry, we don't give you. You have no admission to these places. Nozif le'ele, nozif le'tota. He's been excommunicated in upper worlds and rejected in lower worlds. Oy loy lo isabusha, woe to him for that shame, that embarrassment. Imagine the shame. Now you go away from here. We don't want you here. Go away from here. And he's a bit insistent. He gets a bit upset. Then they start shouting, "Go away! We don't want you here." So that's a tremendous shame. Imagine to be rejected. Imagine having your door slammed in your face. You go visit members of your family, and they open the doorbell, and they say, "Oh, it's you! No, go away from here!" And they slam the door in your face. Go away! Don't come into our house. So imagine the embarrassment, the shame. Oyla loisa busha, woe for that shame. Harachaman isboch, shmo yatzilein. Hashem should save us from not embarrassing ourselves. Chapter 24, Perek Chof Dalet. V'kol kach yichfligu chazal b'choy me'onshe shel odom, she'ef she'shel lo yilasek v'toyeh. Our sages have so emphasized, they've put so much emphasis on the punishment of a person who could learn Torah. A person who could learn Torah. Somebody's got the opportunity. It's mamish there. He's got it. It's there. V'eino isek, and he doesn't do it. Right, you know, it's that person. He's got all the conditions. He's got his panosa. He's got food in he's got food in the fridge. His rent is paid for. He's got clothes to wear. He's everything's fine. And he comes to the yeshiva, and there's a nice room, and there's lights, and there's tables and chairs, and there's teachers, and there's classes. And he says, "No, he doesn't want to come in here." But he's got every opportunity. Everything's available to him. You can just come and sit down and learn. Sit down and listen to a class. The class is interesting. Interesting topic. Interesting subject. Participate. Maybe you have a question, maybe you have an answer, maybe you can join the part of the discussion there. And he doesn't want to do it. He says, no, this isn't for me. No, he's not coming in here. So therefore, So therefore he's going to be punished for that. He's rejecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. He's rejecting the prize of all prizes. Or Shalav Apirish, Chasv Shalom, or someone who had learnt, and he then left his learning, Chasv Shalom, that's even worse. Atshe Kasuhu Beruah Kotshem Be'ilam Abor, and the sages have pronounced the punishment of such a person who rejects Torah learning, that they cut him off. They stated that he's cut off from in the world to come. They stated with their divine inspiration, the divine inspiration of the sages have said that he's cut off from the world to come, legamre, completely. He's completely cut off. Rachman Latzan Hashem should save us. Moshe Kosu Bepeir Chelik, like it says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Hidvar Hashem Bozo. He has scorned the word of Hashem. As he has rejected the word of, Hashem, he's put the word of Hashem to shame. He embarrassed the word of Hashem. The word of Hashem. So therefore, Rabbi Nosson Oimei Kol She'eda B'Shigiach HaMishnah, what's that referring to, says the Gemara? So Rabbi Nosson says it's talking about someone who disregards his learning. He disregards his learning. He says, no, forget about it. He just closes the book, walks up. He's got more, better things to do. So he shows shame to his learning. He just disregards it. Just walks away from it. Just ignores it. Rabbi Nurai says, no, it means anyone who could be learning and he's not learning. He could be learning and he's not learning. The Sefer the High Crow, what does it say at the end of that Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Kidvah Hashem Bozo, he scorned the word of Hashem. What does the end of the verse say? The Sefer the High Crow, Hikoris Tikoris HaNefesh Hahi. That soul will be cut off. Cut off, cut off. It's a double language there. Cut off will be that soul. Okay, Shu Chazal. And our sages have explained that the word Kores, why is it double? Why is it written double? He kores tikores bo'ilam hazeh. He kores bo'ilam hazeh tikores lo'ilam abo. He's cut off in this world, and he's cut off in the world to come. He's cut himself off. He's cut off from Hashem's family, so to speak. Shmana kosev choy mazeh akores. So the verse here wants to indicate to us how severe is this type of kores. Not like the other punishments of Kores which you have in the Torah al Shah of Venus for other sins. We know that there are a number of sins in the Torah. For instance, forbidden fats, if a person eats forbidden fats, or if a person eats chametz on Pesach, person right. There are certain averes. The Mishnah says there are 36 krisos, 36 specific averes that have the punishment of Kores. He says, but this punishment, this one, Vashem Bozo, he says, is different to all the others. Af im dino because if on any of the other veras, if he gets a punishment that he should get chores, on any of the other veras, in kolze lo ibed chelkoi b'chayi v'lo mabon. Nevertheless, he doesn't lose his entire share in the world to come. Shirak oisa nitsa tzakot n'shal nefesh, osu boisa avoin. Only that spark, that small spark of his soul, which engaged in that sin, some part, let's say, part of his life he spent on that sin. So that little part, that spark of his life, that part of his life, that element of his life, where he engaged that sin, that's what he lost. That's what is lost. That little spark is lost, right? It's like a little fiber. Person pulls a thread out of your garment and he throws it away. So now you're missing a thread from your garment. You pull the thread out of your garment. Well, that was a faulty thread, right? So he should pull it out. So a person has spent some of his life sinning. So that's the chores, that he loses that little piece of his life, little chunk of his life has been cut out of him. He comes in the world to come with a little chunk cut out of him, right? Imagine a person comes in the world to come, but everyone sees he's missing a leg. Everyone else has got two legs, and he's walking around, hobbling around on one leg. So they say, where's your leg? That's what he lost. That's something that he lost of his life in this world. So a person who gets chores, some part of him will be lost, but the rest of him will be saved. Will still be able to go into the world to come. The rest of his life, which was dedicated to Hashem, there was this particular sin, but the rest of his life, where he did keep Torah mitzvahs and was clinging to Hashem, that'll go into the world to come. As we explained before, in Shar Aleph of this book. Omnam kan, omeh koris tikoris. However, here by this sin of a person who could be learning and doesn't learn, or a person who did learn and then leaves his learning, it says he koris tikoris. This is a double language of koris. He gets a double koris. Hainu shekol chelik b'chinas nafsho ibdo. The entire share of his soul he has lost. Chelko b'cheyach chay oilam legame. His share of the world to come completely. Chas v'sholem. His whole soul, which could have been, you see, Torah is our connection. It's through Torah that we connect with Hashem. Torah is the connector to Hashem. So we lose that connection. We lose the connection to Hashem. Our connection is through Torah. So he's lost his entire share in the Chaya Ulam, in the world of eternity. And he has no share in the world to come at all. Chen Pasuk Rambam, and so to the Rambam writes, Halacha b'Hilchos Talmud Torah. He writes it as a halacha in the laws of Talmud Torah. The Kovah Kena Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef, after the Rambam, fixed it into the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, authored the Shulchan Aruch, and he's put it as part of the Shulchan Aruch, that this is the punishment of someone who learns and who could learn and doesn't learn. It's Halacha, the Kena Rav Rabbeinu Yoina, the Shai Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yoina, the Shai Tshuva, Mona Esim Adregis, Bechoyim Onshe Avoinis. Rabbeinu Yoina has the third chapter of Shai Tshuva, where he goes through all the mitzvahs. So since the book of Shai Tshuva is showing us how to do Tshuva, so also he's got a whole section where he deals with all the different problems that there are. The problem, things that we've done wrong in our life that we have to try and correct. So he lists over there 10 different levels of averas. We understand certain averas are lighter and certain are heavier. So he's split it up into 10 sections, going from lightest to heaviest. Madrega achrona, and the last level, which is the most severe of all the levels, he puts that group into it, the group of people who could be learning and not learning. He puts them in the last group, in the 10th group, at the most severe group. Because the sages have said about such people, they have no share in the world to come. So that the whole 10th section of all the different levels of punishment in the world to come are those who have no share in the world to come. And one of the people in that group number 10 is this person who could be learning and he doesn't learn Torah. Became a Rav Chaim Vital. That's the holy Rav Chaim Vital, the student of the Arizal. He writes in his book Shari Kedusha, Shari Ches, Chelik Beis, Mano Oisa Gamke, Bechlal Oisam She'enem Chelik Lo'im Abbo. He also counts it amongst those who have no share in the world to come. Bechada Machta Machtin Hu Sham. With one strike, it's a one strike that they strike him out. Imagine with one blow. One blow that just kills him. Just one blow and he's out. That's it. One blow is enough. He's out. And that's a single blow. He's already ejected. Shadidu Shavi in Oysan Shamu Chazal. His law is his status is the same as those about whom our sages have said in the Peper Kama, the Rosh Hashanah, in the first chapter of Rosh Hashanah, Shegehenim Kala, that the fires of Gehenim will burn out. Vehein Enim Kalim, and his sins will not be burnt out. And a person goes into Gehenna and he wants his sins to be burnt out, he wants to be cleaned of his sins. So he wants the fires of Gehenna to burn out his sins. It's like if you have a pot that's not kosher and the rabbi comes with a blowtorch and he's blowtorching to get all the filth off. So this person goes into Gehenna and he's hoping for the fires of Gehenna to blow out all of his sins. And he's there and they're burning and burning and burning and burning. And he's there so long, eventually the fires run out. The fires actually die out. And he's still got all his sins, right? He's still got his sins. The sins remain on him. The fires of Gehenna weren't able to cleanse him of his sins. Hashem should save us. Because of a Rambam, Beis Yosef, Sham Shemisha, Korah, Vishonah, Pirish, Lehevle, Olam, and the Rambam, Beis Yosef, both write that someone who had learnt, he'd learnt Chumash, he'd learnt Mishnah, he'd learnt some Gomorrah, and then he left for the nonsense of this world, he left for the emptiness of this world, he left the halls of Torah, he left the yeshivas. But what did he leave for? Where's he going? He's leaving. Where's he going? Right, where's he going? It says that Rav Yechatzka Levenstein, he was the Mashgiach of Ponovich. So he's one of the greats of the European Jewry. He was in Europe and he was in Shanghai. He was one of those. He was with the male students who went travel to Shanghai. So he was afterwards. He was the Mashgiach in Ponovich. So one of the things he used to say to the students, he used to point to the doors of the Beis HaMidrash. He said, Raboisai, students, he says, you see those doors? Everyone turned around to see the doors. He said, does everyone see those doors? He says, those are the doors to Gehenna. You leave here, that's where you're going. Right, those are the doors to Gehenna. That's how he used to speak to them. So that's a frightening thing. So therefore, it says that by Rambam and the Beis Yosef, if a person leaves his Torah study for the nonsense, for the futility, for the vanities of this world, he just walked out on his Torah, walked out on his learning, and he just abandoned it. So his status goes together with those who could be learning and don't learn. This person who abandons his learning is like those people. And it makes sense, because it's our actions, our evil actions, they are what distances us from them. The person sins, and that disqualifies him from getting the goodness that is supposed to be his. That's what disqualifies him. There's a story in the Gemara that a certain great tzaddik was on his deathbed. So his son said to his father, he says, "Father, listen, speak to your friends, you know, that they should get me into, you know, some of the big groups of the top students," right? His father was a very, very influential person. So he said, "Father, please, just have a few words with you. You know, people are coming to you, people come to visit you." He was very sick. "Please have a few words with the top Rosh Hashivas that they should let me into their group." So his father said, "Nothing doing." He says, "Your acts, it's your actions that will get you invited into these groups. And it's your actions that will get you rejected from these groups. You are the master of your destiny. It's only your actions that count. If you will act appropriately, then they'll be phoning you all the time. Please come and join us. Come and join us. Because your acts are so beautiful, they'll want you in the group. And if your acts are despicable, so then your acts will reject you. It's your own actions that determine your fate. We are the masters of our own fate. And it's basically how we lead our lives, how we use our lives, that decides whether we are going to be brought closer or whether we are going to be pushed further away.